Blog Talk Radio.
Saints, and welcome to another broadcast of Reformation News, where I, your brother in Christ, your servant in the Lord, your host, Radio Reformer, am in studio today to present to you another proposition. This is proposition number 36, and we are making our way along, presenting to you, as it were, a modern-day 95 thesis. And why do we need to do this? Well, because souls are in the balance. My brothers and sisters, today, on Saturday like today, a beautiful Saturday like today, a sunny Saturday like today, I'm in studio. I've been working all day long, prepping for this broadcast, prepping for other broadcasts. I have been seeking God because this is a great endeavor to present to you a 95 thesis is a great undertaking. And after today, we would only have 59 more to go. 59 more. After today, we would have recorded 36, and we would need 59 more. And my brothers and sisters, and we need to do this, we need to get all 95 in before October 31st. We need to get all 95 in before October 31st, which marks the 500th anniversary of the glorious, magnificent Protestant Reformation. You know, my brothers and sisters, this proposition is evangelistic. I hope and pray that you would heed it. I hope and pray, if you're a church member of one of these African American churches, I pray that you would heed the biblical warning, which states in Revelation 18:4. God admonishes us, his people, to come out of her. The her in context is the apostate church. God says to us today by means of this broadcast, come out of her, come out of the apostate church, ye my people, for her hour of judgment has come. And I don't say that lightly. I say it with all urgency. I say it to you, if you're a member of one of these churches where Rome has taken over, where your bishop looks like a Roman Catholic bishop, where canon law now is being enforced, where you're now talking about sacraments and cassocks and zecchettos, and processions. You see, if you're into that language, you need to come out. If they're having you read the Apostles' Creed and the Nicene's Creed and having you regurgitate the foolish fable of apostolic succession, you need to come out. It's slowly, slowly being leavened. Leavened. Your church is being prepped and primed for the arrival of Antichrist. And if you're one of these bishops, guilty of being a Romish stooge, guilty of going back to your local church and leavening the bride of Christ with Roman Catholic gibberish, you need to go home. Go to your closet where you have all of your episcopal robe and all of your episcopal wear and all of your wand, your crozier, your warlock's wand, your mitre, all that junk, the pectoral. You need to do a bonfire today. You need to burn all that stuff and repent and ask your church for forgiveness. And break your allegiance with the Joint College of African American Bishops, because I'm here to tell you today, you're accursed children. You're children of wrath. You're children of wrath. Upon you shall come the wrath of God. Not because he desires it, but because you deserve it. Not because he desires it, but because you're inviting it. Not because he desires, because the Bible says he is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Not because God desires it, but because you are earning it. You're earning judgment. You're inviting judgment. You are summoning judgment. And I'm here to warn you. I'm not here to curse you. The Bible tells me not to curse any man. I'm not here to curse you, but God does. God, who created you in his image and in his likeness, he curses you, and he calls you cursed children, not I. not I. If you read 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 14, let me read 2 Peter 2:14. It says, having eyes full of adultery, and they cannot cease from sinning. They are those who beguile unstable souls. They have a heart that exercises with covetous practices. They are cursed children. You're cursed. You're cursed with a curse. You are cursed with a divine curse. Why? Again, does God want to destroy you? Does God want to make you a vessel of destruction? Does God desire that for you? No. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. That's the biblical statement. For God so loved the world. What did God do? He gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe, and not just believe, but believe and follow. Whosoever would believe and follow and abide in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But Bishop, because you have decided to hook up with Rome, you are a cursed child. You are a child of Rome. You are a product of Rome. You are an offspring of Rome. You are a viper of Rome. All of you together, all the members of the Joint College of African American Bishops are a generation of vipers. Because you come from St. Peter's Basilica. Look up the word Basilica. Look, Bishop. Do a word study. Do an etymological study of the word Basilica. Basilica comes from Basilic. The crown serpent. Notice, St. Peter's Basilica? What would St. Peter have in common with a snake? What would St. Peter have in common with Basilic? What would the apostle of Christ have in common? And why would his so-called church be called St. Peter's Basilica? A basilica is a snake pit from where all of the children of Basilic, where all that generation of vipers proceed with their marching orders. It's the snake pit, St. Peter's Basilica. St. Peter's Basilica in Rome, the headquarters of the Roman Catholic Church, is that snake pit that ordains the generation of vipers, the children of Basilic. And they're dispatched across the globe. And for all of you black preachers who have joined Rome and who make pilgrimages there to have your audience with the Pope and to be trained at the Pontifical College, you're an accursed brood. For you is reserved the great darkness. This is an evangelistic proposition today, as they all are. They're all evangelistic. Not only am I calling the members tending these Roman Catholic little satellite churches, but I'm also calling out the bishops. I'm telling them to flee from the wrath to come. Like John the Baptist, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Who gave you a heads up? Who gave you a warning? Who sent you a text message? Who sent you an email? Who gave you a communique to flee from the wrath to come? The problem is that if you wait too long and the wrath of God finally appears, then as cursed children, all exits will be blocked. all exits, because that's what the word cursed means. The word cursed, you see, the Bible says, blessed is the man. Psalm 1, blessed is the man. In the Hebrew, it means striving forward is the man. Striving forward is the man that does what? That does not depend on the counsel of the ungodly, standeth in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. But forward striving is that man who delights in the law of the Lord. And in that law does he meditate day and night. For he shall be like a tree planted. You see, striving forward, blessed is that man, blessed is that woman. Blessed pilgrims they are, for they advance towards Zion. But a cursed brood, you see, when you're cursed, you're arrested. When you're cursed, you're stopped in your tracks. When you're cursed, you're dealt with on the spot. When you're cursed, you're executed there where you stand. Jehu said to his men, go bury that cursed woman. Speaking of Jezebel, because every dog has its day. Especially if you live in China. If you live in China, dogs in China, dogs in Taiwan, dogs in Thailand know that every dog has its day. Every dog. You don't want to be a dog in Thailand. You don't want to be a dog in China. I'm sorry. I'm sorry to say it, but I mean, that's one of their delicacies. I'm not picking on an ethnic group. It's just a fact. It's just a fact. Now, the same way every dog has a stay in those countries, every dog will have... What do you mean by dog? Well, let's turn to 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 22. Speaking of false prophets, my dear brothers and sisters. Speaking of false prophets, Peter says, but it has happened unto them according to the true proverb. The dog is turned to his own vomit again. You see, a false prophet is called the dog. Again, every dog has its day. If you would turn with me to Philippians chapter 3, Philippians chapter 3, verse 2, it says, Paul speaking, now this is another apostle, the first apostle to call false teachers dogs was Peter. Now here is Paul. Paul's another apostle who calls false teachers dogs. He says, beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. In other words, beware of those mutilators of the flesh. Beware of those butchers who don't know how to handle the sword of the spirit. Beware of dogs. Every dog will be rounded up on the day of judgment, and every dog on that day will have its day. Dear Bishop, I'm trying to reach you. I am not your enemy. And you are cursed. There where you stand right now, you are cursed. Not because I cursed you. No, I don't curse anybody. I don't curse anybody. No, Bishop, you are cursed because you brought the curse upon yourself. You've invited God's curse. You've invited for God to make pronouncements against you. You've invited God to curse you. But I have not cursed you. We don't curse on this broadcast. And by curse, we mean that we don't bring imprecations. The word cursed here is not being used as foul language, which we don't use and God doesn't use. God does not use foul language. By cursing someone, you're damning them. We don't have. Now, you may wish to curse someone. You may wish to damn somebody. But a human wish is nothing because it's simply that, a wish. But when God unleashes a divine curse, it doesn't go as a wish. It becomes a reality. You may curse somebody and say, and you may tell them a good few choice words, but that's just your desire, and it goes nowhere. But when God curses a man, when God curses a woman, it comes a reality. Becomes a reality. Now, in Matthew chapter 5, this is a portion of the Sermon on the Mount. In Matthew 5:44, the Lord said this, "But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, and do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you." You see, dear member of the Joint College of Asinine Heehawing Bishops, I didn't curse you. I'm praying for you. I've been trying to reach out to you. This is my 36th attempt in trying to reach out to you. I am trying to throw you a gospel lifeline in hopes that you would reach out to that lifeline to be pulled in from the wrath to come. In Luke chapter 6, verse 28, Luke records the same thing that Matthew recorded in Matthew 5:44. In Luke 6:28, Luke says this, "Bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you." The Apostle Paul says in the 12th chapter of Romans 12:14, he says this. He says, "Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not." And in verse 19 of the same chapter, Paul says, "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord." Do not what? Do not avenge yourselves. Let God take care of it. Let God take care of it. And take care of it, God will. Now, why is it that this institution, the Joint College of African American Bishops, why is it a group of cursed children? Well, because they are of their father, the devil. Part of Rome, if you signed up with Rome, if you're following Rome, you're following the devil. That is plain and simple. That is clear cut. Jesus looked at the religious leaders in the Gospel of John chapter 8. He looked at them and he said to them, "You are of your father, the devil. You lie like your father and you kill like your father. And if you would have your way, you would kill me right now." That's what Jesus said to them. "Your father's a liar from the beginning. The whole Roman Catholic religion is built on lies. Lies heaped upon lies. Satan's greatest masterpiece is the Roman Catholic Church. That is Satan's grand masterpiece. And you're part of it. And you take pilgrimages to Rome. And you have an audience with the Pope. You seek out the Pope. And you get trained at the Pontifical College. And you seek their approval. And you're seeking to become fully deputized agents of Rome. And the way you earn that is by flipping your church. It's by going back to your African-American Pentecostal churches and flipping them, turning them Roman Catholic. That's how you're going to earn your stripes, by going back and leavening your Pentecostal church and giving it a makeover that will doom it. That's your assignment from Rome. That's how you're going to earn your stripes from Rome. Proposition number 36, it reads, despite its claims, the Joint College of African American Bishops is not, I repeat, is not a blessed institution, but cursed children. Cursed. Cursed. Cursed by who? Cursed by God. It is God who curses. When Jehu said to his men, go bury that cursed woman, it wasn't because Jehu cursed her. It wasn't because the Israelites cursed her. It wasn't because her enemies cursed her. No. She's a cursed woman because God cursed her. And on that day, Jezebel had all escape routes blocked because that dog on that day had her day. And that's just the way it is. You can ignore me. You can ignore my admonitions. You can ignore my exhortations. You can ignore what I say. You can call them rants. You can call me demented. You can label me a fool. You can call me a nut. But you better heed God's word. God is not a man that he should lie. God is not a man that he should lie. And based on scripture, you have a reservation, dear Bishop. You have a reservation. May I tell you where your reservation is? I know you're making reservations to attend the 25th anniversary of the Joint College of African American Bishops. I know that you're making your reservations as we speak to attend that so-called grand event in 2018. Yes. I know all about your preparations. I know all about you making reservations because you don't want to miss that gala. You don't want to miss that glorious event in 2018 where all of the members of the Joint College of African American Bishops are going to come together to celebrate the 25th year anniversary. But as you're making reservations for that, I can tell you that you already have reservations from God. He's already got a place reserved for you. He's already got a room reserved for you. And you didn't have to sow any seeds. You didn't have to send any money. Just by simply being a cursed child. Simply by hooking up with Satan. Simply by joining the Joint College of African American Bishops and becoming one of its members. You have already guaranteed your reservation. And where would this reservation take you? To the darkest hell. To the gloomiest part of hell. Let me read it to you. 2 Peter, chapter 2, verse 17. It reads like this. It reads, these false teachers are wells without water, clouds that are carried with the tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. You see, false teachers in this one verse are guilty of two sins. And because they're guilty of two sins in this verse, Peter says, to them is reserved the darkness forever. You see, you have a reservation. You have a reservation in the pit of hell. In that part of hell that is the darkest. Now, let me read to you proposition number 36. It says, despite its claims, the Joint College of African American Bishops is not a blessed institution, but cursed children, to whom the mist of darkness, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. To whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. Well, where do we get that from? Well, we get it from 2 Peter 2:17. Now, again, you may call me crazy. You may call me demented. You may call me a nut. You can call me whatever name, derogatory name you want to call me. That's fine. But these are not my words. These are God's words. And it says, speaking of you, Bishop, and of your kind, and of your fellow members at the Joint College of African American Bishops, to you the Bible says, these false teachers are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. So again, my statement, my proposition is completely scriptural. Again, let me read it. Despite its claims, and boy, oh boy, does the Joint College of African American Bishops, boy, do they like to make lots of claims. But despite its claims, the Joint College of African American Bishops is not, and I emphasize and I reiterate, is not a blessed institution. So then what is it? It is a cursed group of children to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. To whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. Now, let us turn to Matthew, chapter 8. In Matthew chapter 8, our Savior is speaking. Jesus says, of many who believe in a form of succession, to many who boast of succession, it says, does Jesus, but the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. Isn't that interesting? Now, you see, cursed children, but the children of the kingdom, the Jewish people who failed to embrace Jesus, who failed to receive their Messiah. To those, and John says, he came unto his own, but his own received them not. But to those who received him, he gave them the power to be called the sons of God. You see, but I say unto you that the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. The children of what? The children of the kingdom. Religious folk. Folks with robes. Folks who claimed succession from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, just like you claim succession from Rome and from Christ. You see, you're banking on that apostolic succession. Well, the Jews were banking on succession. They say, we are Abraham, our father. We serve the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And was it not John the Baptist who said, and think not to say within yourselves that we have Abraham as our father? For God right now, this moment, can raise up children unto Abraham from these stones. Don't go relying on succession. Don't go putting your trust in succession. For Jesus said, for the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be the weeping and the gnashing of teeth. Wow. 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 You see, you're calling me a nut. You say this man is deranged. Pay no attention to his propositions. Well, they're not my propositions. Yes, they are my propositions, but they're based on the Word of God. You see, despite its claims, the Joint College of African American Bishops is not a blessed institution. Why? Because the Bible says God is light. And they choose the darkness. God is light. Isn't that what the Apostle John wrote in his first epistle, in the fifth chapter, in the second verse? God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with God, and yet we walk in darkness, and we do, and we're involved in dark deeds, don't we lie? For God is light. If God is light, you can't be involved in chicanery. If God is light, you can't be involved in idolatry. If God is light, you can't be involved in fleecing. If God is light, you can't be involved in lying, in promoting idolatry. Tell me, don't tell me that you're following God. God is light. God is light. But men, said John, love the darkness. Men love the darkness. They love the darkness. It says in the first chapter of the Gospel of John, verse 6, there it says in verse 3, all things were made by him, speaking of Jesus, and without him there was nothing that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shined in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through the light might believe. He, John, was not the light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light, that true light that lighted every man that cometh into the world. Speaking of Jesus. But you don't love Jesus, you love the Pope. You don't love the church, you love your robes. You don't love the simple bishopric, you want the garb. You want the episcopal ring, you want the pictorial cross, you want the cathedra, you want the big chair, you want the throne, you want to live like a king. Therefore, you are a child of darkness. And as a child of darkness, who prefers the dark rather than the light, you are cursed. And your place will be outer darkness. That's what Jesus said. Jesus said, your place will be outer darkness. There is the weeping and the gnashing of teeth. There. When Peter says that they are cursed children in 2 Peter 2:4, he is describing people who deliberately and constantly sin and therefore are recipients of God's wrath and condemnation. Let me repeat that again. When Peter calls these false teachers cursed children, he is describing who deliberately and constantly sin and therefore are recipients of God's wrath and condemnation. We are told in Ephesians chapter 5, let us go to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. Ephesians 5:8. This is a text we should take to heart. It says, for ye, before your conversion were sometimes darkness, but now ye are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. It says in verse 11, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that interesting? It says, let's read that again. Ephesians 5:8, it says, for ye, speaking to the Ephesians before their conversion, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are light in the Lord. You've been born again. Now, as born again people, walk as children of light. We're not cursed children. We're not children of the darkness. We don't like to abide in the darkness. We love the light. Therefore, walk as children of light. And verse 11, it says, and have no fellowship, no koinonia with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee, what? Light. Christ gives us light. Christ gives us light. We're not to walk in the darkness. We're not to be creatures of the dark. We're not to be children of the night, children of the day, children of the light, not of the night. But yes, dear Bishop, yes, dear Bishop, I extend to you a word of warning. You are playing with fire. You are guaranteeing your reservation to a cell in complete darkness. For whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. Dear Bishop, have you ever driven, dear Bishop, on a moonless night in the country? Have you ever driven in a moonless night when the moon is covered by the clouds? A moonless night. It's so dark. And even when you put on your high beams, you can't see 5 feet in front of you. Where you're going, it's darker than that. You won't even be able to see an inch in front of you. That's how dark it is. It is a gloomy darkness, a thick darkness, a heavy darkness. Because Jesus says, he shall be cast into outer darkness. You shall be cast to a place so far away from God, who is the light. That's where you're going. God is light. You read about the New Jerusalem in Revelation 22. That city is in need of no lights because God lighteth her. The glory of God keeps the New Jerusalem, the heavenly city, alit. The New Jerusalem is not in need of electricity or candles or lamps of any sort. Because God's splendor and glory keeps her alit. But where you are destined to go is outer darkness, complete darkness. Outer darkness means far, 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 far away from God. Think of the sun and think of Pluto. Think of the sun. Think of the sun in our solar system, and think of Pluto way out there, way. And think about how dark and cold Pluto is, because it's so far away from the sun. Well, that's nothing in comparison to where you're going, which is outer darkness, extreme darkness, so far away that you will not see the glory of God. To whom the mist of darkness, the mist, the thickness of darkness is reserved forever. Now, why this punishment? Why this punishment? Well, if we keep it in context, if we look at 2 Peter 2:17, it says, these false teachers are wells without water. You see, as a preacher of the gospel, you were supposed to be serving the living water of the gospel. You were supposed to be a reservoir of the living water of the gospel. But you are a well without water. You prophesied that you were a well, but you were empty. Every time people came to you for the living water, you disappointed because you were a well without water. You proclaimed that you were a well. You proclaimed that you were a reservoir of truth. You proclaimed that you carried the life-giving water of the gospel. But every time people would lower their bucket, if you will, they came up empty because you delivered nothing. A well without water. Now, this is so striking because Peter is writing to people in Palestine, where water is crucial. Palestine is a hot and arid place where water is everything. And where a well with water is worthless. You are worthless. You are worthless in that you cannot deliver what the people need. Oh, you were a bishop. You were fully robed. You looked majestic. You had many speaking engagements. Many, many people booked you. You were invited. You made the circuit. You traveled from coast to coast. But every time you opened your mouth, you delivered not the life-giving and the life-providing water of the gospel. You are a well without water. In addition to that, Peter says, you were a cloud that was carried with the tempest. In other words, you showed up. You said, here I am. I'm about to deposit rain. I'm about to open up the prophetic windows of heaven. I'm going to pour you out a blessing. Now think about it. One metaphor has to do with something that contains water in the ground. The other metaphor has to do with something that contains water high above in the atmosphere. And both metaphors are used to show that you promised much, but you delivered nothing. You got a lot of press. You had a long resume. It took them 15 minutes to read your resume before you got up to preach. At the end of the sermon, you delivered no water. A well without water, a cloud who doesn't release any water. A well who doesn't give water and clouds who don't deliver water. One in the ground, one up in the air. Both were necessary in Palestine. Both were necessary in that part of the world. Both were prayed for. Isaac did much to unclog the wells of water which the Philistines had clogged. The Philistines, in order to destroy Isaac, the son of Abraham, if you read, Bishop, Genesis 26, the Philistines all out to clog Isaac's wells of water. They put debris in the wells to clog the wells, not to give him access to the life-saving water. And Isaac had to get his men and unclog those wells if he were to survive. But you're worse. You're worse than the Philistines. You're worse than the Philistines who clogged the wells. You are wells with no water. You are clouds who don't release water. And because you fail to deliver, you fail to deliver. And because you're only a bishop in name only, just like a well is only a well in name only if it fails to deliver water, and a cloud is a cloud in name only if it fails to deliver water, you, bishop, are guilty of being a minister of Christ in word only, in name only, because you delivered nothing. A well who never delivered a cup of water. A cloud who never delivered a shower of water. And for you, for being a hypocrite, for being things that you claim to be, but you failed to deliver because you were such a hypocrite, playing the part but delivering nothing, for you is reserved the darkness forever. For you. For you. For you is reserved the darkness forever. This is tragic. This is sad. Now, here is your bishop. Here is your leader. Here is your Nimrod. Here is your Nimrod. Let me play the voice of your Nimrod. Let me. He is about to lead a group of people in singing, "Great is thy faithfulness." And he's singing this to God. This is your Nimrod. And boy, can he sing. Listen to this.
"Great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There's no shadow of turning with thee." We're going to sing verse 1. And the chorus, verse 2 and the chorus. And on verse 3, I want you to just wait and listen. And then we'll sing the chorus again. Let's sing it and sing to him.
There you have it. He's leading the people in worship. He's singing like a lark, singing like a mockingbird, singing like a jaybird, singing like Lucifer himself. True. Great is thy faithfulness. No denying that. God is faithful, but it also requires, my dear brothers and sisters, let me read to you 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. It says, moreover, verse 2, moreover, it is required in a preacher, in a bishop, in a steward, that a man be found faithful. Faithful to who? Faithful to the gospel. Faithful to God. Faithful to the truth. Faithful to the light. You can sing great is thy faithfulness like an angel. But if you're not faithful to the gospel, if you're not faithful to Christ, if you're not faithful to the truth, if you have joined up with Rome, if you've locked hands with Rome, if you've become an emissary of Rome, of papal Rome, who denies the supremacy of God and his word? You're a hypocrite to sing great is thy faithfulness. Where is your faithfulness? Where, God, listen. Let's stop playing the games. We know God is faithful. We know God delivers. But when are you going to deliver water? When are you going to be a well that gives out water of life? When are you going to be a cloud that will deposit a shower of water? No, you're a cursed child. You promise, but you can't deliver. You're playing the game. This is tragic. Tragic. Now, where will these men wind up? Well, they're going to wind up in the same place that the demons wound up. If you turn to 2 Peter, chapter 2, verse 4. If God spared not the angels that sinned. If God spared not the angels that did what? That sinned. He didn't spare them. What did God do to them? But he cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness. Into what kind of chains? Dungeons of darkness. To be reserved unto judgment. They have, you see, just like the angels that sinned, just like that group of angels that committed that specific unique sin in the history of the world, just like that specific group that went beyond what they were supposed to do, God had them arrested and incarcerated them in chains of darkness. So it shall be for you. Because the Bible says, for these cursed children is reserved the mist of darkness forever. You'll be in the same dungeon as these angels. You will suffer the same fate as these angels. You will suffer the same fate as all who love not God, love not the light, love not the truth, love not the Son, love not the Holy. I don't care how wonderfully you sing, great is thy faithfulness. It is required that a minister be faithful. Faithful to the pure, unadulterated gospel of Christ. Now, here is this man again telling us how we can succeed in the ministry. Listen to this idiotic lie. Listen to this.
The Joint College of African American Pentecostal Bishops places heavy emphasis on the dress for success model of the business world.
My dear brothers and sisters, you cannot dress for success. And I'm going to tell you why. You will never succeed. You will never get ahead. you will never move forward. Why? Because you're cursed. You're cursed. He's telling you that you can dress in Roman Catholic garb and you are dressing for success. This is a lie. This is a lie. Listen to this again. I'm telling you, you will not succeed. And I'll prove it to you by scripture.
The Joint College of African American Pentecostal Bishops places heavy emphasis on the dress for success model of the business world. The vestures or dress of the episcopacy are loaded with theological and historically significant church meaning.
No, they're not. They're loaded with pagan meaning. Revelation chapter 17, verse 4, and the woman, speaking of the apostate church, was arrayed in purple and scarlet. Those are the major colors of the Joint College of African American Bishops. All of the presiding bishops in the Joint College of African American Bishops are dressed in scarlet. All of the other bishops are dressed in purple. So when he tells you that you are adopting the dress for success model of the business world, yeah, it's the pagan world. It's the Romish world. And Genesis and Revelation 17, verse 1 begins by the angel saying to John, "Let me show you the judgment of the great harlot." Those are the first words out of the angel's mouth. He says, and let me read it to you. "Then there came one of the seven angels which had one of the veils, and he talked with me, saying, 'Come hither, I will show thee the judgment of the great whore.'" He didn't say, "I'm going to show you her vestments." No, he says, her judgment. She's cursed. She's been reserved for darkness. She will be judged. What are her colors? It says in verse number 4, "And the woman," speaking of the apostate church, "was arrayed in purple and scarlet color." Now this man is trying to sell you a lie. He's trying to sell you water. But he's a well without water. He's a well without water.
The Joint College of African American Pentecostal Bishops places heavy emphasis on the dress for success model of the business world. The vestures or dress of the episcopacy are low.
The episcopacy that he's referring to is the Romish Anglican episcopacy, which is all pagan. The colors are pagan. The outfits are pagan. Every single one of those outfits was worn by pagan priests of the College of Priests, of whom the Pontifex Maximus was the pagan high priest. None of this is biblical.
Theological and historically significant church meaning. The vestures themselves assist in communicating the roles of the bishop and clergy as representatives of the presence of the holy. The college insists on good behavior, both in public and in private, and monitors the same on the part of its wards. It teaches graces, piety, and insists on these attributes being joined to theological and academic excellence. The Joint College prepares and provides legitimate celebrations and consecrations for those candidates who prove worthy. The college provides a template to reformations to assist them in developing their own system for creating men and women in those offices.
A well without water. And all of his adherents, all of his followers, all of those who have joined in with this organization and serve the same kind of nonsense are also wells without water. Well, let me conclude. Let me tell you how it all ends. God makes one final appeal in Revelation 18. And verse 4, it says this. It says, "And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her," the apostate church, "my people, be ye not a partaker of her sins." Be not a partaker of her what? Her sins. "That you may not receive of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquity. Therefore," verse 8, "shall her plagues come in one day, death, mourning, and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire. For strong is the Lord God who judgeth her." You see, God is going to judge the organization that you're part of. And since you're part of it, you too shall be judged. You too shall find yourself one day like Jezebel, running for the exits, trying to find a way of escape. But all exits will be blocked. You shall be rounded up. You shall be dealt with harshly, because great is the Lord God who judgeth her. Great is the Lord God who judgeth her. I want to close with this last scripture, Matthew 25:41. Matthew 25:41. It reads in the following manner. Take this to heart. Take this to heart, Bishop. "Then shall he," speaking of Jesus, "say unto them on the left hand, part from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." Again, "then he," speaking of Jesus, "shall say unto them, depart from me." You see, outer darkness, so far away from Jesus, so far away from the light. So depart from me, ye what? What are they? What are they? Ye cursed. Peter says in 2 Peter 2:14, they are cursed children. "Depart from me, ye cursed, into what? Into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." Verse 46, "And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." Bishop, you're part of the wrong group. You are playing with fire. You are playing with fire. Right now, as we speak, you are part of that group called cursed children. You have a reservation in that place called outer darkness, where there is the weeping and the gnashing of teeth. You have your reservation. Cancel your reservation today. Run back to Jesus. Burn all your Ramish garments. Burn your membership card to the Joint College of African American Bishops. Flee! I say to you, flee from the wrath to come. Flee! Cancel your reservation today. Cancel. Don't be found with that group of angels who are in dungeons with chains of darkness. Don't make your abode there. You can still turn it around. Forsake the Joint College of African American Bishops. Come out of her and run back to Jesus. He'll take you back. He'll take you back, but you got to do like Lot. You got to hightail it out of Sodom and Gomorrah. You have to leave. My dear brothers and sisters, we'll leave it there. I'll be back with proposition number 37 tomorrow, Lord willing, Father's Day. And to all of my brothers and sisters in Christ, and especially to my brothers, happy Father's Day.